No.
That sound from YouTube of babies Skyping, a reassuring idea for traveling parents or distant grandparents. But does the baby understand what's going on? Michael Rich teaches at Harvard School of Medicine and Public Health and heads the Center on Media and Child Health. They call him the mediatrician. Dr. Rich, welcome.
Thank you.
And you've studied children of all ages using all kinds of technology. But at what age do babies understand what's going on with a FaceTime conversation, let's say?
Well, I think our concept of understanding and what babies understand is different. In other words, there's not a switch that's thrown where they have complete understanding. They are able to recognize voices, recognize patterns. The question really becomes, when they're able to decode that pattern of light and darkness on a two-dimensional screen as grandma's face or whatever, the voice comes before the image does, frankly.
Well, I was talking to a friend who's a young father. He's got a child who is less than a year old, and he said he was FaceTiming with her, and she was very excited. Oh, this is Daddy. You know, I mean, he could figure out that she knew it was him, but then she tried to figure out, well, am I looking behind the iPad?
Right.
Where is he? And when she discovered that he wasn't there, she got very upset by it.
Yeah, I actually had that same experience with my own son at almost 2 years old when his mom was away for the night and was Skyping in from a hotel room, and he hated it. So he made the translation that that was her, but he didn't like the fact that she wasn't with him. So I think we have to be separating also the concept of really decoding what's going on and how they emotionally receive it, how they handle it, because it can be good for some kids. Other kids may not like it at all.
Well, and I imagine that the parents, the grandparents probably love it because it gives them an opportunity that they never had before to stay in touch with little kids from far away.
Right, exactly. And actually, one of the things that I think is really important is for the grandparents to establish themselves as real three-dimensional living and breathing people before they start the video chatting, because, you know, otherwise they're just an image on a screen. So they're the same as Fred Rogers or Elmo.
And it does bring up the issue of screen time, and kids are already watching a lot of TV and other things, and people worry about that. Should people be worried about kids spending too much time FaceTiming or Skyping with loved ones?
I honestly think the concept of screen time is obsolete. We developed that concept when it was only television and when that meant sitting passively on the couch, the proverbial couch potato,
right,
just absorbing stuff. We now have such a wide variety of screen media devices that do certain things very well but don't do everything well.
It's also a tool that you can ignore if you want while you're using it, and in a way that you couldn't do if the person were right in front of you. You're sitting right across the table from me. I can't just start doing something else while you're talking to me, or I could, but you would notice it. Whereas if you're on a screen in front of me, it would probably be easier for me to do that, even if I'm a little kid. Does it change our emotional connections with people by spending time communicating over Skype or something like that?
Absolutely. Of course. I mean, and it's much safer. You have much less fear of intimacy or the risks inherent in intimacy if you are separated by a screen. And that's why people will go on Facebook rather than pick up the phone and call someone.
Is that something, though, that matters to little babies, to little kids?
Absolutely. I mean, little kids are sensual beings. It's all about the senses. Everything goes in their mouth. They taste it. They smell it. They, you know, touch it. And this is a very sterile, sensuous environment. It's not like having mommy. And that's, I think, what freaked my son out. Mommy's voice was there. It looked like mommy, but it wasn't mommy's warmth. It wasn't mommy's smell. It wasn't mommy's holding of him.
So what would you suggest then, Dr. Rich, that people use these kinds of things with their kids or limit their use of it? Or what would you say?
Use them when grandma is now 600 miles away and you're not going to see her for a while. And don't make it seem more than it is or less than it is. It is just a way of connecting. Even if grandma is using words they don't understand, they see what her hands are doing. They see where her eyes are.
Now, I know that you're a pediatrician and this may be a little bit out of your wheelhouse, but do dogs get FaceTime, do you think? When you hold it in front of an animal, do they understand that it's you?
My dog does.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
In fact, I just got back from Arizona and my dog was crying. He's still a puppy. He was crying to go to sleep. And my wife FaceTimed me up and put me on. I don't know if the visual did it. I think it was my voice.
It's the voice.
Yeah. I honestly,
and it, as you but, said, but that's the same for babies.
Exactly. I think they're much more sensitized to the voice. And, you know, we also know that their optical system develops slowly, but it's also not just getting the signal to the brain. It's also interpreting that signal in the brain.
That's Dr. Michael Rich, founding director of the Center on Media and Child Health at Boston Children's Hospital. They call him the mediatrician. He's also teaching at Harvard School of Medicine and Public Health. Dr. Rich, thank you.
Thank you.
And we'd love to hear your experience FaceTiming with babies at our website, hereandnow.org.
And I'm not so surprised to hear what we just heard. I've said this before when I had dogs and now my cats, they go to the radio when Here and Now is on.
Here and Now is a production of NPR. Hi, Kitty. I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. This is Here and Now.